This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. There was good news and bad news in the global fight against Ebola yesterday. The good news was that the number of new Ebola patients in West Africa continues to drop steadily. The bad news is that it has dropped far enough that researchers have suspended human tests of a new drug to fight the deadly disease for lack of study subjects.
Ebola was a public health crisis in Africa and around the world last year as it killed more than 9,000 people. It attracted the money and attention of many relief organizations, including the group Catholic Relief Services. CEO Carolyn Wu was in Milwaukee this week to speak at Marquette University, where she sat down with us to talk about the issues the group faces. Welcome to Lake Effect.
My pleasure.
You have been with Catholic Relief Services for, I think it's about 4 years now.
The start of my fourth year.
Even in difficult economic times, what is it that you've seen that keeps people giving to a charitable cause such as yours?
Empathy. And actually, the most recent one was Typhoon Haiyan. People were very generous. Even for our Syrian refugees, there was money coming in. People hardly know Syria. But the idea of a person suffering, a mother who cannot provide food, an older person who has no access to medicine, in the end, we are all human in the same ways. We cry over the same thing. We suffer over the same things. And people really rise when they could identify with the suffering of other people.
I know, for example, the Ebola outbreak was a key issue that your organization has worked on in the past year. What sort of lessons did your agency learn from that battle, which is obviously still going on?
So Ebola taught a few things. The first thing was that this time the virus started in a rural area. And because in the past it has not moved to urban area, there was not enough planning on anybody's part, the government, the international agencies, that this might go urban. And what would it look like when it goes urban? The second thing that we now learn on a macro level is that basic health system is very important. If your primary health system is working, which means that clinics are working, there are doctors, and that people generally understand healthcare, they are not superstitious, for example, you could actually prevent an epidemic. But if your overall health system was weak to start out with, leaves you very vulnerable. The third thing is that actually, as we look at Monrovia in Liberia right now, the new case load now is just single digits per week. It surprised everyone. But it is the learning that people can change. And so how fast people change and what they're willing to do to change, that can be, you can shape that by proper actions.
There's every possibility that another significant outbreak could happen in the months and years to come. Is part of the lesson from the current outbreak in having things in place for the next time this happens?
You know, I would be humbled if I say things are in place because it will show any type of gaps in the system. Even with the U.S., you saw that, you know, when it came to the U.S., and U.S. has one of the most sophisticated system, people were just not ready to know how to deal with it. What is the proper procedure? What are the questions to ask, for example? And what are the protocols for a healthcare worker engaging a patient? So those are things to be learned. The key really is that we need to be a lot more alert. We need to be able to project scenarios, even though those scenarios may not happen. And that to have enough alerts to let people know that right now these are the three questions you better ask. And if you find these answers, refer it to have a central place.
As we're having this conversation, President Obama has just announced his budget plan for the coming fiscal year. How much uncertainty is there about the federal portion of Catholic Relief Services budget?
not a lot of uncertainty. So first of all, the total foreign aid out of the U.S. government's budget, people think is a large percentage, is actually only in total 1%. So we have some small portion of 1%. And so we're not really affected. And also the type of programs that we are on, number one, disasters, emergencies, when those happen, our work would allow us to get the funding. You have to demonstrate that you do a good job. Everything else, about 85% of our work, is on a competitive basis. So we are not as vulnerable, actually, to economic cycles. We are much more vulnerable to our own performance.
Do changes in the Catholic Church get reflected in the work of Catholic Relief Services?
It actually has not. So the various scandals of the church and child abuse and financial abuses, actually, when people don't give to their regular causes, they continue to give to these international relief, development, charitable work. Because I don't think people stop living their faith or stop holding on to the values that their faith teaches them. So they actually express that, I think, sometimes in trying to assist other people in trouble. So they give to us, they give to Catholic Charities.
Well, and I wonder, the new Pope is speaks a lot about the most vulnerable members of society, and I wonder if his role in setting priorities has been a help to you.
It has been a huge help. I think what the Pope has done is two things. One is to say that the preferential option for the poor is real. It is like you cannot say I'm a Catholic and say, well, I don't really want to care about the poor. I think he made it so clear that you have to confront them. And the second thing is that sometimes in the church there is division between people who care for the poor and people who care for pro-life. And I think what the Pope has done is that those two are the same thing. You know, both of them define who we are as a church.
You came from an academic career to this work. When you go to a campus like Marquette, where we are talking right now, what kinds of things do you talk about with students, and what do you hear from them?
So what is most important for me now is for students to think big, for students to have dreams which are worthy of them, worthy of their education, worthy of their gifts. Sometimes I'm concerned that our society does not engage our young people to think about how to use their lives in big and good ways. And so when I'm on campus, I just want to open up people's imagination, not about our work, that part I just tell them, but to imagine themselves in this work and therefore how they can use their own professional training to contribute to the work for humankind.
Is there a way that you can help foster empathy? That's what we talked about at the beginning of this interview. You know, empathy comes naturally to some people, and other people have to kind of reconnect with it, if you will.
I think there's several things. First of all, I think it's hard to be empathetic about something that you don't know about. So I think that whole area of how do we educate ourselves, how do we not close our eyes to suffering? I remember, you know, 20 years ago, there are portions of the newspapers I'm not interested in. I don't know where this country is. I can't pronounce the name of the dictator, and I can't keep track of how many people and villages and so on he has burned. And generally, I just don't want to handle that particular issue. I think that one thing my job has done to me is it opens your eyes and your hearts to all of these issues. So I think particularly at a university, which is about opening people's hearts and eyes, opening their eyes, opening their minds, and then you know, allow them to engage. I think that's one thing. The other thing about empathy is that I think it's natural to people. I think this is part of the human race. They say mammals, like monkeys and so on, have ways of demonstrating that. But I do believe that if you have been the recipient of generosity, you're more likely to be generous. If people have treated you fairly, particularly adults, if they have given you attention, if they have been fair, if they have listened to you, if they have acted out of good reason, you as a person tend to believe that. So I think for young people to learn, particularly in an adult world, they have to be treated in certain ways in order to get the message.
Young people are kind of growing up in a society where there's a lot of instant gratification. I mean, that the internet has made us into a culture where things can happen like that. How do you connect that desire to have things happen like that with the work that you do, which often doesn't necessarily bear fruit for weeks or months or even years?
I think, Mitch, that's a difficult question just because I'm still of the type of person, I'm not particularly patient. I want to see things happening. I would say what helped me overcome there is to have a sense of faith that God's timetable is not my timetable. And my job sometimes is not to solve everything, but just to do our part. I think it's hard for young people to get that because they have not lived long enough to have perspective. They cannot tell you that in 3 years, things kind of work better and they will work themselves out. They have not raised children who are impossible at age 13, but angels at age 23. And so they're part of things which each generation needs its own space and time to learn. But I think what concerns me more about young people beyond the instant gratification is that they get a sense that nobody cares. Nobody cares about the world and nobody cares about them. I think that that is a more profound and insidious feeling that we need to take on.
Well, Carolyn Wu, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Carolyn Wu heads the International Relief Agency Catholic Relief Services. She was in Milwaukee this week as part of Marquette University's Mission Week schedule.
The governor wants to do away with Common Core standards in Wisconsin. Will he face opposition from fellow conservatives? An education analyst offers some thoughts when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.